Hi everyone, welcome to Words of Wisdom with Apostle Glenn Munama. We are excited to have you on our podcast, and we know you will be blessed, convicted, and strengthened by this week's podcast episode. Don't forget that a new episode is posted every Wednesday at 7 p.m. South African Standard Time. Before you get into it, please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Facebook page is The Synagogues JWC. Our Instagram is thesynagogues.jwc. And last but not least, our YouTube page is Ida TV. We also would love to hear back from you, so we have set up a Discord channel for you all. Feel free to check out the podcast description for the link. We also have a few announcements. The Synagogues JWC is building. Our goal is to have the funding to start phase one of the auditorium by 2025. To give towards the project, you can use our PayPal, PayMe link, or via bank transfer. Banking details and PayPal link can be found in the podcast description. Let us build the house of the Lord. Enjoy.
For now, I just want to go into the word of the Lord. And this time, Bazalwane, there is no time to waste. There's no time to waste. Every opportunity we get, we must teach people the ways of God and prepare them for his coming. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Jesus Christ is around the corner. Every sign, everything says very, very soon. It might be tomorrow. Oh, yes. It might be in 2 weeks' time. It might be 1 month. It might be 1 year. But what I know is not long. Many of us who are alive today will see him, won't taste death. We are that generation that will still be alive when he comes, is this generation. What a privilege to be chosen not to taste death and to be the generation that will be there when he comes. Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ? Say, neighbor, what a privilege to be in this generation that will see the last events unfolding. Amen. So our duty as servants of God is to prepare you. I've had a series on heaven proving a Christian based on the end time messages. All of them are there. I'm wishing for a book soon to be released on those parables, end time parables. Hallelujah. We needed to be ready yesterday, but today is still a chance to be ready. We should have been ready yesterday. Tell your neighbor, we should have been ready yesterday. But today is still a chance to get ready. We're going to read Matthew 16. From 24. And this is one of the things that you need to know. To know if you are ready for him. These are the things that you need to check in your life. To make sure that you are ready. If these things are not in your life, or you have not done this, you are definitely not ready for his coming. Amen. Who wants to be ready for his coming? We've preached messages that have made people to feel good for a long time. Amen. Messages with a lot of amen, hallelujah, preach it, pastor. Because they were not really rebuking us. That's why they were so nice. Amen. This message has never pruned anybody. Have you seen a tree that is enjoying to be pruned? Say, oh, cut me again. Oh, so nice. Cut me again. Oh, so nice. Cut the other one. Oh, that's so nice. Do you think a tree that is being pruned enjoys it? That tree is not going to say amen, hallelujah. It will say ichu. Today, when you preach messages, you should hear people say ichu. Not preach it again. Hello. Are you still in the house? After dancing and jumping, and now you hear this. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Say, neighbor, that this looks like anticlimax. We were going that way. Now it looks like we're going the other way. Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ? Amen. Are you ready for the word of God? So we're going to read from Matthew 16, verse 24. From verse 24. Say, I love you, Jesus. Say, I love you, Lord. You must read it in New King James Version. New King James Version.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man?
If a man will come after me, let him do what? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and do what? And follow me. If a man wants to do what? To come after me, must do what? Deny himself. Deny himself. In other words, there are things that you have to say no to in this world if you belong to Jesus. And there are many of those. And even this morning, I'm sure some of us have said yes to many of them already. But the Bible says that if we really want to be his followers, we must say no to many things in this world. Deny himself. I won't have it for the sake of Christ. It's nice, I like it, I enjoy it, but I will leave it for the sake of Christ. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall do what? Shall find it. There's a message that I want to emphasize today from this teaching is that of not carrying only your cross but dying on it. There are many Christians who carry the cross. In other words, they have accepted the Lord in their lives, but they have not made him the Lord of their lives. They have not identified with his death. In other words, they have refused to put or lay their lives down for the sake of this salvation. They are still themselves. And such people will not see the kingdom of God. No matter how long they've been saved, so-called saved, or how many times they have chosen to follow Jesus. The most important thing is dying on that cross that you are carrying. We have not been only called to take up our own crosses, but actually to give our lives on it. He that will save his life will lose it, but he that will lose it for his sake, he will save it. And this is not only referring to physical death, because there is indeed persecution. When you preach the gospel in South Africa, there's no chance that somebody's going to kill you for that. But try do it in the eastern countries and see what will happen. There are people who are giving their lives every day, who are giving up their lives every day for the sake of the gospel. They are being killed. I don't have stats with me, but thousands and thousands of people have been murdered preaching the gospel. The same gospel that some of us think that we have to enjoy life because of the gospel. Others know that they have to endure life because of the gospel. The gospel that we preach is the gospel of nice things, the gospel of entertainment, the gospel of Father Christmas. The gospel of you name it, you claim, you claim it, you name it, you claim it, you have it. Name it, you claim it, you have it. Not the gospel of risking your own life. Denying yourself of all the good things. Today, Christians, we want to have everything and still be Christians. Go to every place and still be Christians. Have our cake and still eat it. That is the kind of Christianity there is today in the world. But the true Christianity that will prepare you for the coming of Christ and prepare you for heaven is the one of dying. Oh, shame, otwamudim, dying to self. Let us read the book of Galatians 5, verse 19, from verse 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. This gospel requires that the carrier of the cross must also die on it. We refuse to be nailed on the cross that we carry. The moment anything bad happens to you, you scream. You shout and you do all sorts of things, but these are part of the things that comes with the gospel. The nailing. Amen? So you need to die. Say, neighbor, you need to die on that cross. The solution for you to have peace in this world is to die on that cross. The reason we complain too much is because we are still very much alive. I haven't seen any cops screaming and saying, it's tough here. You try to kick a corpse, you can drop a corpse, you don't complain. But these corpses that I see, you drop them, they complain. You kick them, they complain. They threaten you, they wake up and deal with you. What kind of corpses are these ones? It's because they are not dead. They are still very much alive. The truth is, unless we are dead, buried with Christ, we cannot resurrect into the newness of life with him. And this is the kind of life that prepares us for heaven. The reason some of us will not even be raptured is because we are still alive. How can the dead, how can those that are not dead rise? Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be dead and be crucified on the cross with our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that says you must die. Look at your neighbor. Everything that says you must die. The I must die. In fact, before that, let's read Galatians 2, verse 20. Read that one first. We'll come back to Galatians 5. Say the I must die. Read Galatians 2, 20.
Galatians 2, 20. I have been crucified with Christ.
Uh-huh.
It is no longer I who live.
Meaning I'm dead. Okay? I'm what? Who is this I? It's you. The he or she that loves things of this world. The he or she that prefers the nice thing of this world. The he and the she that comes first before anybody else. Heaven is not for those that are still full of themselves. Because those are still very much alive. If you're living to yourself, your house, your dogs and your cats, some of us who are more worried about our dogs having food than the guy in the street without food. I'm not saying, people who love animals, please don't shoot me down. I'm just saying, amen. Do you love Jesus Christ? Continue reading Galatians. Start again.
Galatians 2, verse 3.
Uh-huh.
I have been crucified with Christ.
I want everybody to say, I have been crucified with Christ. Meaning I am dead. Meaning? Meaning what? Look at you and say, neighbor, clap me and see if I'm alive. Please, just clap me. Heart, please. Heart. Please, just clap me hard, just to check if I'm alive. Did your neighbor did it? Why not? Because they can see you're going to be very much alive. Before they know it, something would have been sent back to them with fire and vengeance. Because this guy is still alive. That's why Jesus Christ said, when they clap you this side, turn the other cheek because you are the dead man. A dead man's cheek is always available. You can go to the other one. You won't even hide it. Clap, clap, clap. He's dead. He's saying, be a dead man. But you can see our responses whenever we are being triggered. That, hey, I see a responder, man. And as a Christian, this person, yebo, is a what? He's a Christian. Ungijayela ngabi lo muntu. Hela. Say neighbor, hela. You are dead, though. Why you talk like that? You don't talk like cops. But I'm crucified with Christ. And these are the people who will quote this scripture. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But hey, do something. Do something. Before I face out, I'm crucified. Crucifixion. It's not. Are you hearing me? Next time someone says, I'm crucified, and see if it's true what they are saying. A dead person cannot respond. when provoked. No. No. I'm disturbed. What is disturbing you, brother, sister? Something is happening to me. You are alive. That's the problem. Cops don't get disturbed. Are you hearing what I'm telling you today? Next time, whenever something bad happens to you, check your response. Check your response. That's all. You don't need to know on the day when you are raptured whether you are ready or not. You know on that at that moment that you are not going anywhere. Heaven is not for living people. It's for dead people. Now people still have emotions. People still have feelings. Feelings. Today you are angry, tomorrow you are happy. Feelings. You are alive. Even weather doesn't change like you. Even people who live with you don't even know which buttons to touch because it looks like every button is a red button. And this person on Sunday is here, might even be singing on the stage and blessing us, might be sharing the word, might be an usher. But these people are still alive. If you want to follow me, carry your own cross. In other words, you will be nailed and there will be nails that will be coming in. The next instruction is that don't refuse to die. Don't refuse to die. Die, you. All these things happening to you, they're trying to kill you. Pray with me, man of God. Life, things are not going well. No, please, no. This is death that must come to believers. Amen. Continue reading.
It is no longer I who live.
It is no longer I who live.
But Christ lives in
me. Aha. Here is the question I want to ask you. When something happens to you, the way you respond, do you think is the way Christ would respond? Next time something happens to you, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Because the Bible says he lives in me now. Hello? It's no longer my own ways and my own desires and my own reactions and responses now. It's what? It's Christ. If you don't know how Christ will respond, remember what he said on the cross when they were doing all sorts of things to him. Innocent as he was, he said, Father, these people don't know what they are doing. Forgive them. Are you hearing me? Forgive them. Hi, bang chaylangabi. I'll show them a thing or two. So you still have things to show people. But you are a Christian. You're still carrying your own weapons. But you are a Christian. Only those that are dead to these provocations are going to heaven. The rest of us refusing to die, Maybe we'll be saved in tribulation. By the way, there's another chance in case you miss this first flight. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you miss this first flight, there's another one. But that one, no one wants to catch that flight. No one. But there are those who don't believe in Christ right now. You're telling them they don't. When tribulation comes, they will realize that we were right. they will refuse to accept the mark of the beast, and they will be murdered in that tribulation. That's the way they will go to heaven, by refusing what? The mark of the beast. That's the salvation of the tribulation times. Then second flight. Those who refuse to die now, they will have to die later in tribulation. You got to die. Say neighbor, you got to die. Now or later, death must come. Hello? Can't refuse. You live your life a Christian, we're preaching, we are rebuking, but people just continue their lives like Christ has never died. So my question to you is that every time, let me tell you, every time something happens to you, check your responses. Ask yourself, what would Christ say? Because now is Christ in me. Do you agree with me? Every time things happen to me, I may feel like doing something, but hey, I would rather check what Christ would do in that situation. Then I will kill that flesh. I will not allow it to raise its ugly head in my life. Hello? Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Continue reading. But Christ lives in me. Okay, continue.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God.
So the life that I now live where in the flesh, I live by faith in who? The Son of Christ, the Son of God, Christ. By faith, some translation, I think they say by faith of the Son of God. Some say in. These are different things. It means he helps your faith. Amen? Faith of, which means that on your own it will be difficult. Christ helps you. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Say, I'm dead. Say, I'm dead and I mean it. Say, from this afternoon, I'm going to make sure I'm dead. And the test of this thing is going to come tomorrow morning, if not this afternoon. You are going to be checked if you are telling the truth. Before you get home, in the taxi, you'll get your first test. Test of the dead people. You'll get it. Let's see what happens. Hallelujah. Tomorrow at work. If you don't get it today, you'll get it tomorrow at work. Oh, yes, somebody's waiting for you to check if you are still alive. There's a test. It's available out there to check if your people are dead or not. Amen? Some of us will be checked tonight at home. We'll be checked by our wives if we are alive. Are you hearing me? Some of us will be checked by our husband if you are alive. Some of us are going to be checked by our sisters and our brothers if we're really alive. They will check my weight. Remember, it comes because of the weight. He's listening to me now. He's going to check if this thing you have heard is working in you. Today, the test is coming. You better decide, yeah, fa. Are you hearing me? Those that await him and they want to see him, they continually put their flesh to death. Continually. Amen. Read Galatians 5, yes, from 19.
Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, arduous.
Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, can you recognize something in that list? Are eating to a high kamu. Are eating to a high kamu. Yes or no? I want to know. We people of God, Jesus Christ is here. Say, ahamba, ukudlala kuphelile manje. Don't even pretend. I'm asking you, is there something of yours in that list? Is there something you can recognize? Is there something you can identify with? It's my problem. Am I talking to somebody here? Hello? In that list, is there something you can recognize? If so, deal with it, not tomorrow, today. If we, tomorrow, kuvuleka nje kusamba, hayi, izokusinda lento. Is going to weigh you down. Amen. You know the flesh, ne, tells you it's a lie. It's a liar. It tells you that if you do something, ukari, you are giving in too much. It's like you are doing somebody a favor. It's like it says refuse with something. Don't do that. If you do that, look, you there's just too much at stake. Don't do that. That's the flesh. That's the language of the flesh. Amen. And the likes. In other words, it means the list is not complete. Let's say Tswana, let's all. In other words, there may be something, you may not find something there, but do you have anything like that in your life? Things that even you know very well that if you have a conscience, that conscience already told you, preached to you that that is bad. That is wrong. Stop doing it. We are preparing you for heaven. There's no time to play. I don't want to be asked questions in heaven. Why didn't I tell you? Why didn't I tell you these things? In fact, some people say that those who miss this flight, the first flight, which is coming soon, those who miss the first flight, they are Christian, they are going to look for their pastors. They are going to accuse them why they did not prepare them for this. But bazobashaya abo pastor bazoshaya. You're taking my money. I was giving tithe. Boom. And then you don't even tell me the truth. Boo. Abo pastors, bazoba nema blue eyes. Green and yellow ones. Imagine one day people are gone and I'm here and I see a march of people, a march marching to the church looking for me. Say, pastor, why didn't we go to heaven? Why were we not raptured? Pastors will run away. Pastors are going to hide. They must just stop what they're doing, some of them. Not everybody. Some of those who are playing, they must just stop it. They must just tell people the truth. Manje, okay? Apologize. Apologize to people that I was not preaching the truth. Forgive me. I just wanted you to stay. Because that's why they don't tell the truth. They want people to stay. People don't like it when you tell them the truth. They are going to go away. Truth is not nice. Every Sunday when I listen to Nijo, you are not told nice things. No, you go. Flesh tells you, go to a place where you hear something encouraging. That's how we encourage people, to tell them to stay away from unrighteousness. That's why how we encourage them. To hold on to their faith in difficult times. That's how we encourage them. Some of you still have amakwapeni. Amakwapeni. Side kicks. Forward kicks and backward kicks. and bicycle kicks. Today you are in church, you look so nice, like you are. It's like somebody who eats and then avai pumula mulomo. Like they've not eaten anything. I'm gonna tell you the truth. Because some of us we live with people that are not married to us. We cohabit like it's okay. But you know, Tiwena, you are not married. Puma lapo. Puma lapo. Puma. Jesus Christ is coming. Just get out of that place. Because some people, you offering yabo, yabo nahala, yabo nagala, le offering yabo, yabo nagala. Yeah. Yeah, see, there are people, they give, but akubonakali. There are those they give, and then kuyabonakala. And then when they leave here, they live their own lives, because we pastors don't want to tell, we are afraid to tell them, because they will stop giving. No. Well, but the thing that you're doing, when rapture takes place, they are going to come for that money, and you're going to tell them why you didn't tell them the truth. You didn't tell me to get, this is wrong. Because some people don't even know it's wrong. They come from the world where these things are right. No problem. They come into the church. We don't tell them. We're happy. Brother, God bless you. Bless akanjani uhleli esonweni sakho. Hello? I've told many people to change their ways and they didn't like it. They left the church. It's fine. It's all right. Many of you, you realize that in the past, I don't know, in the past 4 or 5 years or so, all that I've been dealing with is the backlog of marriages. You know what is backlog? People who are living together and not married. It's just a backlog. I've been helping people to get married. Njalo. They were already staying together. I was saying this last week, eti backlog e pelile ministering. I'm so happy. Now I'm going to start with new ones, fresh marriages. Hallelujah. There's an audio I was listening to yesterday. Somebody said, listening to this audio, and this person was outlining his marriage policy in his ministry. So I'm listening, and this man who showed me this video, he looks at me and says, "What are you saying?" And I said, I wasn't surprised, and he was surprised that I didn't say there was anything wrong with what you were saying. Because I've seen a lot of things, and what he's trying to do makes a lot of sense, most of it. Amen? And I wish in the ideal world, or not even an ideal world, those pastors who are brave to tell people the truth, I believe those are the ones that are going to help them to heaven. Are you hearing me? Today we need pastors who will be bold to tell the truth, to break the ranks. No, they let them preach what they preach. I'm not part of them. I'm just telling you the truth. Hello. Look at your neighbor. Neighbor, say neighbor. Let's die. Let's just die once. Hey, kunini man. Let's just die once. How? Who are two? Kunini basitshela lento. How long have they been telling us this thing? Die, die, die. Look now, we are even about to miss the first flight. No heavyweights are going. Look at the neighbor, no heavyweights.
You know who are the heavyweights? Those who have muscles. You know, when you are living in sin, you are like a bodybuilder. Every time you sin, it's like you are carrying those weights, the biceps. Woo! Am I making sense to somebody? You're just a heavyweight. If you sin, you are just a heavyweight. If you obey God, that's an exercise in righteousness. If you obey, it's an exercise in what? In righteousness. If you disobey, it's an exercise in what? In carnality. You are exercising in the flesh. Then you become so heavy. When we go, lightweights will go. Heavyweights, they are too heavy to leave this world. Can I tell you the truth to save you? Amen. Changing girlfriends every week. Hello? Every week. Say never. Every week. You are on the third divorce. Who's stopping in when? Number three, manch. Who's the common factor la, in all these marriages? Who's the common factor? You are on number three. It means we're not going to have a problem. You are the common factor, isn't it? If you're on number three, it means you are the problem. You are the common factor. The marriages and divorces are unfortunate. But some people just don't want to change. They're driven by carnality. The flesh. Never satisfied with what you have. Always looking next door, think is better there. Flesh. Hallelujah. Now continue reading.
Of which I tell you beforehand.
Yes.
Just as I told you in past time.
Yes. Those who do these things they're not going. They won't make it. Stop even asking me, Pastor, am I going to heaven? Am I going to be raptured? I don't have time to waste. You are just a heavyweight. You are heavyweight. Lose weight. Starve yourself of the desires of the flesh. Just starve yourself. Starve this flesh. Dala, giving it a lot of nutrients and supplements and all that. That's why it's so strong. Starve it. Say no to it. Look at the neighbor. Say no. Starve it. Continue reading. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law.
Some are thieves. When you look at this government, my goodness, it's free for all. People just take. It's normal. Is it what? It's normal. And those people that are in government are Christians. Oganjan. Today they are in churches. Akir. But you see, it's normal. It's normal. It has been normalized to live that kind of thuggery. Is normal. And these people are Christians. It's not only in government. What you're seeing in government is it's everywhere in life. You don't have to be in government to be like this. This has invaded the society. People are stealing everywhere. Of course, they are stealing. Are you hearing me? You can hardly go to any place to buy anything and you don't get somebody coming to you on the side and say, Baba Yazin, lentole, you can get it. I can organize it for you. But I'm in the shop and this person works there. Next thing, we are the people who say the government steals. We're now. You take things out the back door. Then I'll meet you the other side to give it to me half the price. And guess what? You too, who is buying these things? You are sitting in the church today. You too, you are a thief. You see, everybody is a thief. Let the one who does not have this thing be the first to cast the stone at the government. The one who does not have this problem. We're all waiting for a chance. If you are in government, you're also going to steal. All we are saying is not me there. That's why we call them thieves. But even if we remove them and put new ones, the thuggery will continue. Because it's in the society. We need to change. We need to change. Today, even in the church, if I can leave 100 rand on that chair, 100 rand, and go to the toilet, when I come back in the church, do you think I'll find the 100 rand? I'm asking you, in this ministry, I'm not talking about another church, in this church, am I going to find my 100 rand? You say, I don't know what you're saying. I don't even know what you're saying. When people come for altar call, they tell them, bring your bags with you and your wallets and if don't leave anything there. Ngoba sinama ama sela. Who's going to heaven? Who? Really? Who's? Oh, this first plane, what is over empty? I'm telling you. With what we are seeing today, these people are stealing our money. Well, now if I leave my money next to you, managing, so if, am I going to find it? And yet we are busy preaching sermons that I don't know who are we trying to entertain. When people are not changing. Say never care, I want to list to us as Salimanati. This chair is no longer friendly to you. Hello. How many of you wants to go to heaven? Let me see that. All of us. Amen. We got to die, man. Die to self. Continue reading. Yeah. Oh, yes. With its passions and desires, crucified there. Passions are things we want so bad. So bad. It's a passion. Passionate about. You want it so bad that you will do anything to get it. passionate about things. If we are passionate about God like the way we are passionate about things, it will be nice. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? If you can just swap your passions, just be passionate about the things of God like you do with the things of the world. Do you love Jesus Christ? These are the things that gratifies the flesh that we must cut out of our lives. Things that make you feel so good, but yet they are so bad. They make you feel so good, but yet they are so bad. The end of it is destruction. The entertainment is temporary, or the satisfaction is temporary. But the consequences are everlasting. Every desire of the flesh, when look at them, they all satisfied today. Have you seen when you are craving for something, you have it, like ice cream. Some people are craving for ice cream. Even now when I say ice cream, chocolate, especially chocolate, Magnum. Somebody already tempted in this place, right? Muruti, don't even mention that one. Muruti, please. Have you seen how you crave for Magnum, and then you eat it? 5 minutes after we eat, we leave it. Ile. Do you see how useless the desires of the flesh are? Not even 5 minutes. The moment it passes your mouth, other places, there are no taste fibers. And it's all about taste. But the consequences are dire. Just for 1 minute, could Magnum, how long does Magnum last? Well, it depends in whose hands. Some people, it's just 2 bites, it's gone. But that 5 minutes, Magnum is gone. It's like you have never eaten Magnum, because the taste is no more. You feel like another Magnum already. Are you hearing me? Sweet things are like that. So are the desires of the flesh. They are just like that. They say, satisfy now, satisfy me now. And then you satisfy it. After 5 minutes, there's no difference. Literally no difference. You put someone who has eaten Magnum here and the other one who didn't. They look, after 5 minutes, they look the same. Are you hearing me? The satisfaction is only when you are eating it. After that, no more. Are you hearing me? Whenever you are under pressure to do something wrong, tell yourself this. For what? Sell my soul for 5 minutes of nice time. Not me. I'm not going to trade my life for this. This is my life. Hallelujah. Continue reading. Yes. If we are of the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, we must also walk in the same Spirit. Hallelujah. Let us be spiritual. Amen. Die to self. Say, die to self. When you are dead to self, God and others become more important in your life than yourself. You know, sometimes I wish even married people with problems and challenges they would say for a moment, can it be about kids? Can it be about family and not us? Because at the center of some of these conflicts is selfishness and greed and self-centeredness. People refusing to go down and they're standing on their pedestal. They don't want to hear anything. I'm right. The other one says, I'm also right. No one wants to come down. For what? You look at the children, you look at everything that is at risk, but the flesh will say, mm-mm, not at this altar. Not at this altar. Are you hearing me? You know that you are dead when the next person's interest supersedes yours. I want to say that again. I know you are dead first if God is first in your life. In other words, for the sake of God, you will stop anything and everything to do it. If God says yes, no is a no, and it's not debatable, you know you're dead. The second thing that knows, that will tell you you're dead, is when your interests don't matter anymore. He said, but men of God, how can that be? Yes. A dead corpse, a dead person has got no interest. What are the interests of a corpse? I'm asking you. The corpse does not even care. That's why some people say before, please, when I die, you know, people like, who's this man again? Okay, anyway. But there are people who will tell you that, when I die, please, don't waste my money on expensive coffins. Already, because they know when they're dead, they're not going to say anything. Are you hearing me? Just get me a cheap coffin. Even if you wrap me in a blanket and throw me in there. Hello? Because these people know that when I die, I'm worth that body's worth nothing. But how come these bodies that we see are still worth so much and they say they are dead? Look at the things they accumulate to themselves and themselves only. Look how expensive things around. You know, somebody sitting there fell. I say, never, when out with so fell. How could Sheba? I see. R1 million here. Just spend on yourself. R1 million. I'm not saying people shouldn't do that, but I'm saying, you know, do we ever think about other people? Once life becomes about yourself, you are still alive. Congratulations. Welcome to the world of the living. But if nothing matters about you anymore, welcome to the world of the dead that are made ready for heaven. Are you hearing me? I want to finish with a story. In fact, this thing happened yesterday, and I can tell you, I realized how this has affected my life so much. Yesterday, we went to the mountain. And I normally go to the top of the mountain. That's where my altar is, you know, on top of the mountain. So at some point, that mountain is quite steep. I call it a mountain. It's fine. It's quite steep. So I went up then, and just before I went to the mountain, my wallet was in the car, in my car, and my wife wanted to take the car, and just she took the wallet and put it in my pocket. And then I went to the mountain. And then whilst I was there, I took out my Bible and I took out my anointing oil bottle, which I always take with me. And then I prayed and I timed the presence of the Lord, anointed my altar, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And then, whilst I'm there, I said, well, I also have my wallet with me. Let me just also, why not, put it there by the altar. Lord, whatever, let the altars fight. If there's any altars standing against my money, let me just leave it there. And I prayed. You understand what I'm saying? I left it at the altar too, and we prayed. And then I took all the three things. I took, when I was about to go, to come down, I took three things. I took my Bible. I took the empty bottle of oil because it was empty. It was little when I went to the mountain. Very little was left. And then I took the wallet. I had them in my hands. Now you must listen to me carefully. And I'm coming down. Then I slipped and I fell. Okay? I fell there. And then everything scattered. Everything scattered. And you know why I was bringing down the bottle? And I said, tomorrow is a beautiful day, seventh week. I just want something that I can bring down, you know, to represent the grace that people sharing in this grace and the presence that I'm experiencing. You get what I'm saying? So for me, that empty bottle just represented that grace that I'm bringing down with me. It was empty. But for me, that's what it meant. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I think, kind of things I believe. So I brought it down and said, as long as this bottle comes down for the people of God, whatever is fine. Then I'm coming. Then I fell. Then I look at my Bible and I said, oh, my Bible is fine. And I look at the bottle and I said, Lord. And I said, devil, you are a liar. Listen to this. Devil, you are a liar. You wanted to break this bottle. Why? Because that bottle for me represented you and the grace that must come, that I must share with you. Symbolically, I know people say, bottles, you see these people, they do, I don't care about them. But for me, it symbolized something that I was carrying down from the mountain. Are you hearing me? And I was so excited that the bottle was not broken on those rocks. I didn't care about whether I got injured or not. The bottle was still intact, which represents something for the children of God. And then I looked, at the Bible and said, wow, thank you. Then I left. So I came down and we were here at church. And then later, and I called the leader of the, you know, worshipers were singing, were practicing yesterday. I called the leader of the worship team and I said, Do you people, are you going to need food? And then she said, yes, but honestly, I hope that she would say no. Honestly, I hope she was going to say, no, we are okay, Pastor. You know we are fasting. She said, oh, yes, Pastor, we will need some. I said, my goodness. And I call my daughter and say, please go to the car and get the wallet. She goes to the car. She doesn't find the wallet. And I said, no. The Bible, I put the Bible in the house when I came back. Go and look for it. She went and said, there's no wallet. And then I said, go and look. I went to the bedroom. Go, no, there's no wallet. Then I said, my God, when was the last time I saw the wallet? Still, I could not remember. I said, but I know I had it on the mountain. I don't know. Then I went back to where the other people were, because I remember, there was a place on the rock where I put the Bible. Remember, people were there yesterday. I went to that rock thinking that I put the Bible there with the wallet, and the wallet was not there. At that moment, I heard, you remember when you fell, the wallet fell too. Then I went up to the top of the mountain. I found my wallet where I fell. Listen, and I said to myself, how come I never thought even about something that matters to me as a person, my wallet, that I could not remember? Some people would have thought about the wallet first before anything else. Not even the Bible, my God. Where's my purse? Where's my purse? Where's my purse? Okay, nitolile, in my pocket. Now the rest. No, I did not even think about the wallet because for me, those things don't matter, nothing anymore. I only remember when I want to help another person now that I don't have the wallet. That's my life. I'm dead. I realize coming from the mountain, I say, hey, nifila, yes, I'm dead. If things like this happen, it means you're dead. Hallelujah. If all that matters to you is the well-being of the next person and not yourself, you are ready for heaven. By the way, you came here because of me, of another person. Some of you don't even know. When God brought you here because he had seen the pain and the suffering of others, and he sent you here, and he blessed you so that you can be a blessing to others, not to yourself. But what do? Let them go and work. Let them go work hard. Let them go and what? Let them go and what? And I always tell you, how many people work hard and they are not as rich as you think? It takes more than just working hard. It takes grace. Why do you have the grace that you have? It's because of me, your neighbor. Nothing else. Until that happens, you are not ready to go back to the one who sent you and is also not expecting you. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? So, my message to you today, go and die. Where the next person matters the most, more than you. Your interests are less important than others. And most importantly, God is the ultimate authority in your life. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus? You have heard all that you got to do. You must go and do it. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say, but we've heard everything. We must just stop living and start dying. God bless you as you do so. Say, neighbor, I've never seen anybody who plans his death, but hey, you are going to do it. And you're going to execute it and make sure you are dead. Maybe your happiness will start the day you die. All dead people look so happy. They look so okay. Oh, yes. Maybe you just need to die. Amen. Say, neighbor, maybe you just need to die. Stop running away. Just die. Stop refusing with your life. Just die. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Clap, clap, clap hands for Jesus.
Thank you for listening, family. There is a way for both international listeners and South Africans to give. For international listeners, please use our PayPal Me link, which you can find in our podcast description. For South Africans, please see our banking details in the description as well. Shalom.